And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we've got a tremendous program for you, a very important program. It's entitled, Get Ready, I Smell War. Specters of a Savage 2009. I'm going to make some predictions, friends. I want to, first of all, say these are not prophecies. In other words, God hasn't said, say this. Or thus saith the Lord. But based on my own analysis, and as you know, that's what I do best. I'm a researcher. I'm an investigator. I'm an analyst of the global situation and of the American condition. And I believe we can say with some confidence, maybe 90% level, that these things will happen. I pray they won't. I actually pray they won't. And there's a small possibility they will not occur, but I want you to know about them so you can be careful of your life, of those events that can affect you and your loved ones, because it's a big, big things are going to occur. Now, we're not in a normal environment, a normal situation, but you would know that simply by turning on the television news or reading your newspaper every day. Momentous events are going on. And this is not like anything else we've ever been faced with. This is not a normal recession. This is not a normal political turnover. This is not just change, as Obama puts it. There is something very deep, very instrumental, very, very dangerous and precarious about today's situation. And I think you should know about it. I want to know more about it, and I am investigating this day and night, 7 days a week. I can barely sleep because of all the incredible things that are going on that we're moving forward into a new age of terror like we've never seen. And I want to tell you something, friends. Your life is going to change and mine too. I would like for it to get back to normal. But you know, back in the 70s, there was a best-selling book by Alvin Toffler entitled Future Shock. Well, we have arrived. This is the future. And we're going to enter a stage of shock and fright and danger. And there are some cases of hidden danger that I want you to know about. I'm not really an alarmist. I've never really been a gloom and doomer, but on the other hand, I do know what the Bible says. I know what history teaches us. And I know things can go very, very fast, especially to this global trading capitalist fascist system that has been developed over the past 100 years. And things can finally escalate till they go so fast that they're out of control. Maybe even out of the control of the elite Illuminati itself. You know, in Revelation 18, verses 11 and 17, there is an incredible verse. It talks about all the trading systems and finance and the buyers and sellers of the last days. It says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. That's Mystery Babylon, the world system. Shall weep the merchants, the sellers and the buyers, the people with money. I mean, we're talking about the commercial concerns. They will weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. Now, our Federal Reserve, working with the U.S. Treasury, has pumped in untold trillions. One report has $8.4 trillion into the banking system. $8.4 trillion. They have now admitted that they have pumped in $2 trillion. That's just what they've admitted. But you'll remember they raised a lot of ruckus and a fuss on Capitol Hill to get a $700 billion package through. So how did it happen that they spent more than the $700 billion and gave it to the banks and the financial wizards of this world? How did they give $2 trillion, admit it, but $8.4 trillion that even many conservative financial commentators are admitting? $8.4 trillion. Now, I want you to understand something. The gross product of America, that means everything bought, sold, exported, imported, in America is about $13 trillion. That's what the World Almanac says, $13 trillion. But they've pumped $8.4 trillion just over the last, you know, 6 or 7 weeks into the banking system. $8.4 trillion, that's over, we're there's only $13 trillion in the entire U.S. economy, which is made up of 300 million inhabitants. And yet they've spent $8.4 trillion. Last night I was watching one of the stock market financial channels. I think it was Fox News. It was indeed Fox Business Network, come to think of it. And one of the former top officials of Citibank, that, by the way, has been the pleasured to receive some $45 billion that we know of, $45 billion of free gifts, welfare from the federal government. That's your taxpayer dollars. $45 billion, plus they have $306 billion of debt, much of it toxic debt, meaning worthless real estate and so forth, and the government has guaranteed that. The government's out $351 billion to one bank, Citibank of New York. All these institutions, of course, are owned by Jews. It's the Jews that are doing this, that are smacking down America, destroying America. Not every Jew. I mean, there's a bunch of them just nutty, weird, sexually depraved Jews. You know, like Seinfeld and Barbara Streisand and Michael Moore and all the other weirdos, wackos, nuts, and monsters of Hollywood and Broadway and television fame, all of those crazies. A lot of them out there, too. Not very many normal people. And no wonder. Jesus said, Matthew 23 and 24, he said to the Jews and to Israel, your house, that means the house of Israel, is left unto you desolate. That means void of anything until he returns again. Void. Actually, the word is desolate. Think of the worst condition you can think of for a person. A black-hearted hole in their soul. That's desolate. Desolate. I remember Bob Dylan once sang a song called Desolation Row. Well, there it is. 18.5 million Jews around the world, Desolation Row, and they brought it home. There's a reason why Mr. Madoff, M-A-D-O-F-F, established a hedge fund and then went out and stole $50 billion in the greatest Ponzi scheme in human history. And the interesting thing is, a lot of the $50 billion he scammed from people, he stole from fellow Jews. There is no honor among thieves. The only delight I had was seeing that some of the charitable education foundations that deposited their money because they were getting such a big return, 10 to 20% a year from Mr. Madoff, former chairman of NASDAQ, one of the world's biggest financial stock exchange houses, they were getting so much money, these charitable organizations, these charitable educational organizations, Jewish. I did a little research on these charitable Jewish educational foundations. I found, for example, that the Mortimer Zuckerman Foundation is basically a racist, bigoted, Gentile-hating foundation. And they were tax-exempt by the U.S. federal government. I mean, if you were to set up a white power group, it would be exactly like Mr. Zuckerman's educational charitable foundation. It preached the Jews as a superior race. Basically, that's my opinion of it. Once you read it, go check it out yourself. The Rabbi Whatever Foundation and then the Zuckerman Foundation. Who's Mortimer Zuckerman? Editor-in-chief of U.S. News and World Report. One of the most fanatic Zionist warmongers in the world. Every month he would write an article saying, let's go to war. Let's go kill some more Arabs and Palestinians. These monsters cheat people, and now they're getting cheated. Seems only right. Except they really hate the Gentiles. By the way, that foundation taught young Jews that they were not to marry Gentiles. Why, Gentiles are inferior. And even if they're were born in America and they're officially American citizens, their real nation that they must love and be patriotic toward is Israel. Everything for Israel. And basically, a hatred and a sneering distaste for any other races and religions. Hey, if I started a foundation and I taught you as a white man, you are not to marry any those horrible blacks and Jews and others. Well, the government shut me off in a minute, take away my 501c3 tax exemption. If I was a black man and I said to you, all those white honkies, they're just devils, those white people. And I set up a foundation, charitable foundation, the government would take it away, strip it. But the Jews do it all the time. There's hundreds of Jewish educational foundations set up to preach racial bigotry and hatred toward Gentiles. But that's okay. They're Jews. They're God's chosen. They can be bigoted and racist. They can be haters. They can be for warmongering. They can say a Jew cannot marry a Gentile. Oh, no. Not those inferior insect Gentiles. And that's okay. Well, the government sponsors it. And Madoff took a lot of their money in, and now, of course, it's all down the tubes. But he's not the only one. Talk about a Ponzi scheme. Recently, there was a lawsuit introduced this very week against that Citibank that I just told you about. And guess what? It was the lawsuit was instituted by depositors of Citibank who say that Citibank scammed them of millions of dollars. In fact, billions. They say that Citibank may have scammed $1.2 trillion from its depositors by lying about its assets and so forth and securing deposits. And then the price of the shares went down until the government bailed it out. And by the way, isn't it interesting? Well, we're not going to bail out those auto workers. They're making too much money. Yeah, they're getting retirement benefits. Yeah, we can't bail them out. We don't want to give them General Motors and Ford and Chrysler $15 billion. Oh, no, just let all those hundreds of thousands of people, let them go out there and eat dirt. We don't care about them. Let them all go bankrupt. They didn't do a good job building those cars anyway. But then Wall Street Jewish banks go to Congress and they want, I mean, how much? 400 times maybe as much. No. Well, let's see. How much would that be for? Oh, I don't know. Several hundred times as much money? Not just $15 billion. They want $700 billion. And Congress jumps up and down like little froggies saying, yes, sir, Mr. Wall Street, we'll do whatever you want. And guess who was the point man? Guess who was the person who coordinated the $700 billion bill between Wall Street and Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker? And Mr. Harry Reid, the senator who's head of the Senate, the Senate Republican leader, Democrat leader, majority leader, I should say. Guess who brokered the deal so that Wall Street could get $700 billion more from Congress to add to a total of $8.4 trillion they're getting in secret under the table from the Treasury and the Fed that operates privately and doesn't let anybody audit its books. It is not even a government organization, but is run by the bankers itself. It's the bankers giving money to the bankers. Mr. Bernanke represents the bankers. He doesn't represent you. They just lower their interest rates at the Fed. If you're a bank, you can get a loan from the Fed. They print money. They can give out as much as they want. And now if you own a big bank in Florida or Ohio or California or Texas, you can go to the Fed and get an interest rate reduction. You can get a loan of millions of dollars from the Fed Reserve right now for the fat little interest rate of 1/4%. What did I just say? 1/4%. The Fed funds rate, the discount rate. Go up to the window and say, I want $100 million. And the interest rate to you will be 1/4%. Oh, no, wait. When I say you, I mean a bank. You go to a bank and you're going to pay maybe 6% for a mortgage. You go to a bank and you're going to pay 7 or 8 or 9% for an automobile interest. But the bank gets their money for 1/4%. How can the Fed do it? Well, the Citibank guy, the former executive at Citibank, was asked that same question on Fox Business Channel last night. Guess what he said? He says, well, they are the United States. They can create as much money as they want. But the next question comes, who eventually has to pay for it? Well, the people of the United States. Who is that? Friends, that's Tex Mars, and that's you, the person listening to this program. You're going to pay. Well, you say, well, nothing's been taken out of my pocketbook yet. Maybe you even have your job. You're not one of the ones been laid off. Oh, just wait. They're already thinking of new taxes. I mean, the state of, what is it, Washington State, Rhode Island, they've already got plans. They're going to start taxing people according to the number, the miles they drive every year. And I understand that Obama favors a United Nations tax on oil. So now when you go up to the pump, in addition to paying the federal tax, the state tax, the local tax, you'll get a United Nations tax on every gasoline purchase. Oh, whoop-de-doo. You own your own well, you say, well, at least water comes cheap. Oh, no. Across the nation, they're forcing farmers and people who own their own water wells to put meters on them. They're going to start finding out how much water you're using for your livestock, for yourself, charging you for that. You say, well, it just comes out of the ground. That's right. Friends, if they could, they would measure how much air you breathe and tax that. They're going to put a microchip on every car in America, and then every state is going to calculate, every locality, how many miles you drive. You drive 10,000 miles, okay, you'll have to pay like 1/4 cent. What would that be? I don't know, $250 for every mile. You drive 50,000 miles, you're a traveling salesman, it's going to get expensive. They need the money because, you see, they're all about to go bankrupt. Cities, towns, villages, entire states. They can't pay for their bonds that they got when they blew all that money building things that were not needed in many cases. School districts are going to run out of money. The only way they can get money is from you. And now inflation's going to come up, go sky. I know right now we have a spiraling downward deflation. But you see, the bankers cannot allow that. A Ponzi scheme needs an ever increasing infusion of money. This is the biggest Ponzi scheme in the world, this $8.4 trillion. And they're encouraging you to keep your money in all the banks and financial institutions. It's a Ponzi scheme now. And they've taken $8.4 trillion of your future income that they're going to tax you on, raising taxes. Obama will, believe me, he will leave office after 4 or 8 years as the greatest taxer in the history of the presidency. This is the Ponzi scheme. This is the greatest of all. And as a Ponzi scheme, they need ever increasing amounts of money until it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then there's no one left to pay. And then it all comes crashing down. We've gone through a series of bubbles. You know, I did a program a couple of weeks ago called Bubbleology, 101. And now the greatest bubble of all. I've said it, the money bubble. They're throwing it in, and the bubble is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and every bubble will break. But this is the bubble of all bubbles. This is the mother bubble. Now you say, how did this happen? Well, it was engineered. And we're heading down into a spiral. We're going into an abyss. Now, there's only one way out. You see, I think actually this surprised them. The magnitude of this is even surprised the elite. Now they're caught up in their own web. They're caught as just like, you know, Moby Dick. He threw the harpoon out to kill the whale. You know, Captain Ahab did. Read the book Moby Dick by Melville. He threw the harpoon out, the spear, and it stuck inside the whale. But then he got the rope caught around his leg on the other end, and the whale pulled him into the sea and drowned him. Oh, Moby Dick won the battle. The whale won. Captain Ahab was no more. Now, friends, listen to me. The Illuminati elite are the Captain Ahab, and we're the whales. And they've harpooned us. The problem is now they're afraid they're going to be dragged down into the bottom of the sea with us. And there are people who want more and more wealth. They love money. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 says the love of money is the root of all evil. And they're all evil. Because they love money consummately. Now, here's the problem. How can they stop this downward spiral? It began, you see, with them engineering this breakdown, thinking they can create a new financial world order of change, thinking the people would be desperate and reach out to their saviors, Barack Obama, and his chief of staff, Rahm the Cruel Emanuel. But now they're stuck. They're hooked. The harpoon's dragging them down too into the depths. The Madoff crisis, where $50 billion, mostly owned by Jews, went down the tubes. Now they're in trouble. Now their own banks are going one after another. Plop, plop, plop. Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, banks over in Europe and in China, South America, everywhere. Banks are going. And they're only able to stay open because of that $8.4 trillion that you and I paid as an advance to them. Oh, you're going to pay it all eventually. They've got you and me. But listen to me, friends. How do you break out of a deflationary spiral? Now, first of all, the common man and woman, that's me and you, the everyday man and woman, ordinary worker, middle class, we sort of lack deflation. I mean, you and I didn't like paying $4 at the gas pump for a gallon. And now it's only $1.59. We like that. And you know, I'll tell you, unless we own one of those homes that were really overinflated, we sort of like it. When homes that used to sell for $200,000 are now selling in many places for just $100,000. If you're a working man, you say, now maybe I can afford a home. Now, if you bought one for $200,000 on cheap credit, you're sort of in bad shape. Shouldn't have done that. If you were buying a new car for $20,000, you'll be happy to know maybe you can get one now for $14,000 or $15,000. Doesn't that make you happy? If you were spending way more than you could afford at the food store for groceries for your family, you're going to find out, you know, even a half gallon of milk is going to be cheaper. Just watch and see. It's already going down. You're going to get bread, eggs, milk, the staples, everything cheaper. Oh, yes. Cheese, everything's going down. Oats, rice. A spiraling downward deflation. But the rich don't like that. They're losing everything they've got. You might lose your job. You might lose your home. But they're losing billions. They say, so what? Let them live like me. Let them live like the common folk for a while. Well, I'm sort of with that. I like that. But wait, they don't want to live like the common folk. They want to live like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. How can they get out of this dilemma? A dilemma they caused by creating $800 trillion of thin air throughout the world economy and some $60 trillion just in America alone. There's not enough money now for the Treasury and the Fed. I know the Citibank says the Fed can print as much as they want, but they really can't. They're just about at their outer limits. They've gone into the twilight zone of printing money. So what are they going to do now? Get ready. I smell war. Here's the way it happens. A great depression comes upon the people, caused by the bankers and Wall Street, the Jews. But it hits the people the hardest. And they don't have any money to buy stuff anymore. And they quit driving. They quit buying. They quit a whole lot of things they used to do, eating out at nice restaurants, buying nice clothes, taking their families, you know, their kids to Disneyland. All that stops. And then the merchants start suffering. Stores start closing down. Everything goes down. I mean, they were getting, you know, $500 for a ticket to a big football game at college or pro level. You know, give us $500 for a good seat. They don't have any takers anymore. What are they going to do? They can't get rid of the tickets at $300, $200. They may have to go back down to $10 like the old days to see a football game or a baseball game. What I'm trying to tell you, friends, this is deflation. This is a deflation. And as I understand it, I've been talking to some people, and they tell me that China has a terrible problem. Red China. 1 billion people, but guess what? They've been put to work making things for America and Europe for years. They make all kind of gadgets, electronics, auto parts, toys, video games. It's incredible what they're making. Clothing. Factories have just been putting out nonstop merchandise. It's been shipped to America on ship after ship after cargo ship. But guess what? Nobody can buy it in America. Nobody can buy it in Europe. What are they going to do now? And if they stop the factories from producing these things and lay off tens of millions of Chinese, there's revolution. Talk about Tiananmen Square. It's 1,000 Tiananmen Squares all at once. They cannot afford to lay off tens of millions of Chinese workers. So you know what? They've kept building stuff. They've kept producing merchandise and filling up warehouses. I'm told that from one border of China to another, warehouses are brimming with goods, but nobody's buying it in America. Nobody's ordering it. The ships, the cargo ships, the huge merchant ships, even the huge oil tankers are sitting with nothing to do. That's right. Nothing to do. What's going to happen? Well, they're doing the best they can getting a lot of this merchandise to America. That's why when you go to stores, they have sales. Not just 10% off, but 20, 30, 50. Pretty soon it'll be 70, even 90% off. List price, then they'll have to change the list price and reduce it. Deflation is everywhere. But the Illuminati have a solution. They have a solution to this deflationary crisis that you and they are embroiled in, caught up in the net, harpooned together. It's called war. I smell war. Get ready. Now, when we go to the other side, we're going to go for a little break here. When we come back, I'm going to tell you some things that are going to happen this year. I believe it. Stay tuned. We're going to tell you the agenda, the schedule of some horrors that are going to occur possibly this year. You're listening to Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. Tex Mars here again. Do you have my book, Circle of Intrigue? Well, you need it. It's about the hidden inner circle of the global Illuminati conspiracy. It's entitled Circle of Intrigue. It's 300 pages, power-packed pages. And I want you to understand something. This book names names, names organizations. You'll learn about the CFR, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission. You'll learn, in fact, it has an actual list. Has an actual list, the World Conspiracy and Insider Membership List in the appendix. About 15 pages long. You'll find out who are the top movers and shakers, who are the insiders of the inner circle of the global Illuminati conspiracy. The Circle of Intrigue. I want you to understand something. The Bible tells us the mental attitude of these men and women. It says in Proverbs 27, verse 20, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Hell and destruction are never full. You know, in the book of Habakkuk in the Bible, it says that in the last days, God requires the devil to enlarge hell. I want you to think about that. It says that. The devil has been forced to have a little building project. Whatever dimension hell is in, a lot of people think it's downward. Well, in the middle of the earth even. Wherever it is, I want to tell you something. It's being enlarged right now. It's growing. You know, there's a rehab project, renovation going on, getting bigger and bigger. It's like a prison out in the desert that keeps growing and growing and growing like some cancer. That's hell. That's what it says. Hell and destruction are never full. The devil, it keeps building on more rooms or cells, whatever you call them. And that's what we have here. Now I want you to get this book, Circle of Intrigue, and you'll see the hell that they're building right on earth. The Illuminati. The Circle of Intrigue. An amazing book. You must have this book. Has to be in your library. You'll want to order an extra copy for your friends. Now, it's just $18. $18 for a 300-page book. Please add $4 shipping and handling, a total of $22. Ask for the book Circle of Intrigue by Tex Mars. It was a bestseller, an international bestseller, still sells well, and it's needed more than ever. I think it's more timely and essential now than it ever has been with what's going on in the world. Now, here's how to get your copy of Circle of Intrigue for $22 postpaid. Just phone us toll-free in the United States and Canada, 1-800-234-9673. Our regular phone number, if you're overseas, that's 512-263-9780. Please call us now during the workday, Monday through Friday. If you'd like to, you can go to powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com, and order it right there on the homepage, Circle of Intrigue. And, of course, you can send us a check or a money order or cash for $22. Put a little note in it and say, Tex, send me the book Circle of Intrigue. We will have it out of here within about 2 work days, okay? 2 business days. I promise. All right. Our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's Power of Prophecy, or just send it to Tex Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Hey, a real quick word to those of you who gave to our Children's Home Orphanage Project. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I hope in a future edition of our monthly newspaper, and certainly on the internet, we're going to have a picture of our staff here. Unfortunately, Juan and I were not available that day, but our staff, they took a picture, and it shows all of these Christmas package-like things that were packed to go to the children's home because of you, of your giving. And I think we, Sandra's our engineer in the studio. Sandra, I believe we actually took in more this year than ever before. And so imagine the goodness. I mean, here's a time of financial emergency in America, but the listeners of Power of Prophecy caring for these children and these homes gave more than they've ever given. And I appreciate that. And I'll tell you, it will make all the difference. Somebody cares. These kids know now that somebody cares. You care. And here's the nice thing. Not 1 cent went into Power of Prophecy Ministries. We didn't stop it here. We didn't take out anything for administration or fees or anything else. It all went directly, okay, to the Children's Home Project. And it has two parts, by the way. There's the boys' ranch. Then there's the other one where they have these little cottages and, you know, the children in them, even battered wives and all kind of stuff. So listen to me very much, friends. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You did a great thing. And some people say to me, but Tex, don't you need help for Power of Prophecy Ministries to keep this radio program going and such? Oh, of course that's true too. But once each year we have this project, you can give any time during the year and we'll get it to the right place. And give to the, just say that Tex, this is for the Texas Children's Home. And we'll make sure you need to designate it now for that. And we'll put you on that list to make sure the money goes there and it doesn't go into our general fund. But at the same time, yes, we do need your help. More than ever in Power of Prophecy, we need your help. And I'll tell you something. Our expenses keep going up. It's amazing. I hope this deflationary spiral keeps going because, wow, they're raising our taxes this year. They've raised our energy rates this year. Everything is just raised. But I think it's going to come crashing down unless something happens. And now we're going to talk about that very thing. Let's return to our regular program. Entitled today, here on Power of Prophecy, I'm Tex Morse, entitled, Get Ready, I Smell War, Specters of a Savage 2009. Now, let me tell you what I see as the agenda this year. And note something, friends. I seem to be always ahead of my time. Everybody notes that. They say, Tex, I listen to you. And, you know, after it doesn't happen in 6 months, I say, oh, well, he was wrong then. But in another year or two, it comes. It happens. Well, this is a gift God has given me. And I want you to understand that I'm not always, you know, on time. I never give specific dates. But this year, I do believe 2009 might be the year for these things to occur. You know, a lot of people were shocked when everything that's been going on with our genetically engineered food today, they said, well, Tex Morse told us about this 9 or 10 years ago in his book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. Then we get this new money and this movement toward a North American Union and the AMRO. And I'm getting letters from people say, Tex, years ago, you told us about that in your best-selling book, Millennium, Peace Promises and the Day They Take Our Money Away. You were years ahead of your time. Yes, and that same book told you about this great financial crisis and how they were going to engineer it. It seems I'm always ahead of my time. And a lot of people just don't, there's not patient enough and they say, oh, I don't think it's going to happen. Reminds me of the days of Jeremiah and I don't put myself in the same, you know, I'm not even worthy of tying the shoelaces on the prophet Jeremiah's shoes. But I remember Jeremiah prophesying according to God to the people of Israel, some things that were going to occur. And when they didn't happen right away, the people said, well, you're a false prophet, Jeremiah. They laughed at him. They scorned him. Caused Jeremiah to get on his knees and said, Lord, why haven't these things happened? You had me go out and prophesy them, and they haven't happened yet. God had to bring him up short. You know, God has his own timetable. He does things the way he wants it. And I'm his servant. And unless he gives me a specific date, and this date 2009, these things may occur in 2010, 2011. But I believe they're at hand. And if I get a specific date from God, I'll tell you that much. But I haven't. This is my own personal analysis. So please don't come back next year and say, Tex, this or that did not happen. You're a false prophet. This is not thus saith the Lord. But I'll tell you something, friends. I spent 20 years as a U.S. Air Force officer. I served throughout Europe and Italy and Germany, throughout Asia and Okinawa in Japan, in Vietnam, in Thailand, throughout the United States. I've taught for 3 universities. And yeah, I'm getting up there in years. That's why I have such a big resume. That's why I have the credentials. I've been around a while. And friends, I say, get ready. I smell war. Now, the Great Depression that followed the stock market crashes of 1929 and the 1930s, and by the way, there were about 3 stock market crashes there. The 1929 were followed by others in 33 and 34. You know, it's like the Bible says, sometimes there are tremors and shakes that precede the great earthquake. Oh, yes. There's birth pangs before a birth. And these alarms are meant to give a warning to God's people. You see, I don't think most people are going to listen to anything I say today or anything you say. They're going to laugh at you. Everything is going to happen just the way it always has. Everything is going to be okay. Yeah, sure. You watch out, friends. 50 million people lost in the flames of World War II. 50 million. And what kind of geographical realignment did we have? The Soviet Union gobbled up Eastern Europe. Red China came into being because of the Japanese being overthrown and then Mao Zedong taking power there and overthrowing Chiang Kai-shek. Incredible events occurred because of World War II, and they need a war to bail them out of this spiraling deflation. Will $8.4 trillion poured out of thin air poured into the financial institutions and banks work? It does not appear to happen. If it does not stop this spiraling deflation downward, they know they're going to be sucked into the vortex of, well, a bankruptcy and misery. They cannot allow that, and they're going to start a war. That's what happened in World War II. Roosevelt said, we got to get out of this Great Depression. Everybody said, well, the New Deal got us out. No, it didn't. It put a bunch of people building bridges and parks and all kind of stuff. You know, it created a bunch of welfare projects, but it didn't get us out of the Great Depression. World War got us out. Now, let me tell you, the first thing that happens when war occurs, let's just say we're spiraling down. The stock market has now lost thousands of points, and everything is toppling. How can they get us out of this horrible deflationary problem? Here's how. You create another 9/11 false flag incident. You create it. Another, maybe even worse than 9/11. I don't know what context it will take. It could be an American ship being sunk in the Persian Gulf, and they'll blame it on the Iranians. The Iranian Republican Guards, Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of the Middle East, he did it, and then we'll attack Iran. Or Israel will say, we've got to attack Iran. They're developing nuclear weapons. Even though the CIA and every intelligence agency in the United States says it's not true, the Israelis do whatever they want to, and they will be backed by Barack Obama because he has a handler named Rahm the Cruel Emmanuel who tells him what to do. He is funded. He is created. He is engineered. He is a Manchurian candidate, a puppet of Zionist Jewry. I'm telling you the truth. He is a puppet. He is a Manchurian candidate. And who is he going to assassinate? The whole country. Get the old movie starred Frank Sinatra, Lawrence Harvey. Get the movie The Manchurian Candidate. But he's not going to assassinate just one man. He's going to murder all of us if we don't watch out with a World War III. But first, it takes place with this terrorist attack, so-called, done by the Israeli Mossad and rogue agents of the FBI and CIA. Notice I didn't say patriotic agents of the FBI, and there are many, and of the CIA, but rogue agents of those agencies. And they, working with the Mossad and other intelligence agencies of foreign countries in Europe, will pull off a horrible thing, maybe a nuclear bomb incident. And they'll say the Iranians brought in, or the Pakistanis, better, to even make it the Pakistanis. The Pakistanis brought in a suitcase, just a little suitcase or a briefcase nuclear bomb, and they've blown up half a city. Maybe Cleveland. Maybe, who knows, Dallas, Texas. Maybe Miami, Florida. Maybe Los Angeles. And what if we were alarmed over a couple of thousand, 3,000 died in the World Trade Center tragedy, what would happen if 100,000 were killed by a nuclear bomb and they blamed Ahmadinejad in Iran? Or they blamed the Pakistanis? War. I smell war. Now what happens? The minute this incident occurs, this 9/11 or worse type incident occurs, it will always be pinned on those evil Islamic terrorists. And that means the Middle East. That means the Persian Gulf will be shut. All the shipping of that oil coming from the Saudi Arabians and the sheikhs of the emirs of the Middle East will be stopped. The shipping lanes across the Isle of the Hormuz Straits there will be stopped. And now oil, which last year, actually 4 months ago, cost $147 a barrel for each barrel of oil, because the speculators on Wall Street had driven up the price to $147. It's now today, this very day, selling at about $40. It's gone down. That's that deflation I told you about. It will go back up from $40 to $100 to $200, maybe $300 a barrel. And this will be within days of an attack. Within days. So the price of oil will go up. Now people will panic and they'll start buying gold. The price of gold will escalate. Now for 20 years, over 20 years, the central banks of this world control the price of gold. And I know all these gold bugs out there and all these financial firms that sell gold kept telling you, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. They didn't know what they were talking about. But now finally, like a broken clock, that's correct, twice a day? Now they're correct. Gold could go up to $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 an ounce if there's war. And why wouldn't there be war? They need to stop the deflation. And how do they do it? By inducing inflation, by reinflating the world's economies. How do you inflate it? Well, they've already pumped $8.4 trillion. A freshly minted money created electronically, of course, and that doesn't seem to work. And by the way, that's just the United States. Over in Europe, in China, in Asia, everywhere, South America, all the countries of the world are working together. All the central banks of all the world's powers are working together to try to pump up the world's economy, and they can't get it going again. It's like a balloon that lost all its air. The pinprick came and the whole thing comes crashing down. Humpty Dumpty is cracked. Who can put him together again? Well, there's got to be some event, horrible event, that will start the cycle back the other way. It's barreling downward. Let's barrel it back up. Let's cause a re-inflating. If oil has gone from $147 a barrel down to $40, let's drive it back up to $147 and past. If gold has gone down, let's drive it back up. It was $10.50, now it's about $8.70 an ounce. Let's drive it up to $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. How do you do that? By scaring people, panicking people. Greed and fear will grip the world, and everybody will be buying gold as a haven. So economic chaos will escalate. The public will become panic-stricken and frightened the minute these events start to occur. And if, let's say Tel Aviv or Jerusalem were bombed by the Israelis, of course, the Mossad, they would blame it on the Arabs or on Pakistan. They would say the Muslims did it. And then Israel has 300, at least minimum 300 nuclear bombs. Why wouldn't they rain them down on Pakistan? Why wouldn't they rain them down on Iran? They'd love to kill. Blood. The Bible says, the Old Testament says, the prophet said, this is the words of God, all they who hate me love death. They love death. They love money. They love death. They love war. It's like the guy in the movie Apocalypse Now, the colonel in the helicopter. They drop napalm and burn people alive down on the ground in Vietnam. And as the flames roll and the smoke furled and the colonel there in the helicopter smelled all that napalm, went into his nostrils, he said, I love the smell of napalm. I love the smell of napalm. It's the smell of death. Now, the Middle East powder keg, when it blows, oil will shoot up to an astonishing $300 a barrel. Gold will skyrocket upward to new heights. And a superpower Cold War will reignite. Why? Because Russia will take the side of Iran. Russia will take the side of Pakistan. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying we're going to have a hot war with Russia, but it looks like a Cold War will be reignited as a minimum. It's already been ignited. When American intelligence, Israeli intelligence, and many of our commandos and such went into the nation of Georgia and began to massacre people in those two provinces there that were pro-Russian, and Putin sent troops in, said, you're not going to do that. We're not going to let you do that. Cold War, superpower Cold War will reignite again, threatening U.S. security, that's what they'll tell us, and causing geopolitical conflict incredibly dangerous in scope. After all, the United States has some 10,000 nuclear weapons. The Soviet Union has at least 5,000. Some people say more. And guess what? When oil shoots up to an astonishing $300 a barrel, it will break the back of America's economy once and for all. $147 a barrel oil broke the back of the American economy. A desperate, weakened United States will be brought to its knees. And then the saviors of the earth, Barack Obama. Barack, of course, an African, the African language. Even Barack Obama himself says the word Barack, the name Barack means blessing. Oh, yes. He's our blessing. And Rahm Emanuel. Oh. Rahm, that very word in Hebrew means the Most High. And Emmanuel means God. Can be interpreted as God. He's the Most High God, the blessing and the Most High God. He's going to be the White House Chief of Staff. This Zionist freak. This monster, this former Wall Street guy who was paid $17.5 million in 2 years by Wasserstein, a Wall Street firm, who engineered the $700 bailout for the banks from Congress. That's right. He's the guy that controls Congress's purse springs. His name, Rahm the Cruel, Emmanuel, the Most High God, in Hebrew. They have a solution for America. Vicente Fox, he of the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations and so forth, former president of Mexico, he was on the Larry King show last year. He gave us a solution. He said, and this was when America was riding high, we were prosperous. The Dow Jones average was at an all-time high of 14,000. And what did Vicente Fox, former president of Mexico, say? He said, in a few years, the economy of America will fall. And the people in their misery will cry out for a new currency and the North American Union. He knew it in advance. He knew what their agenda was. Mr. Fox. What a name. No wonder Jesus was asked about King Herod, the evil one. And he said, King Herod, that old fox? We will be told the Amaro, the new currency, is our only salvation. And our blending in the North American Union with all the other regions of the world into a new world order will be the only way out. And as the unemployment rate goes up to Great Depression of the 1930s levels, up to 25-30% of the population out of work, it will be seen as our only salvation. They have the answers, Obama and Rahm the Cruel and all of their pals. And by the way, everybody he's put in his administration, Obama, they're all retreads from the Clinton era, from the Reagan era and the Bush era, but mostly the Clinton era. It's like Clinton 3. You know, there was two terms of Clinton. They kept saying that McCain would be Bush 2. Now we have Clinton 3. The third term of Bill and Hillary Clinton. In fact, Hillary's even going to be the Secretary of State. Meanwhile, everybody that's being appointed all has ties. Somebody said, according to the press, they called up the headquarters of the president-elect Obama's headquarters. Guess who answered the phone? Betty Curry. She was the former secretary, personal secretary to Bill Clinton. Now she's at the headquarters office working for old Barack Obama. By the way, Rahm the Cruel Emanuel. Oh, I've heard that name before. In fact, guess what? He was in the White House as a big advisor to Bill Clinton. And Dick Morris, who was the chief political advisor to President Bill Clinton, talked about the relationship between President Bill Clinton and his advisor, Rahm the Cruel. He said, and I want to quote him, this was on Fox Television, the Bill O'Reilly Factor Show, Dick Morris, former chief advisor now to Bill Clinton, says, President Clinton was afraid of Rahm Emanuel. Now, friends, I have a staff here, and they're wonderful people that work with me. I'm not afraid of any of them. I'm the boss. Now, you know, they expect me to treat them like a human being, and I want to. They're my friends here, as well as my co-workers, co-laborers in the Lord's vineyard. But imagine if I feared this one or that one. I was afraid of them. They worked for me. Why would I be afraid of them? Rahm the Cruel Emanuel worked for Bill Clinton, but Bill Clinton, according to his chief political advisor, Dick Morris, who was certainly in the know, they shared a lot of little bimbo girl tales, too, between them, him and Clinton. But anyway, that's another story. Yes, yes, Clinton was afraid of him. Because the Jewish Zionist billionaires, the Wall Street types who control Washington, D.C., put Barack Obama in office. And they put Rahm the Cruel as advisor in the Clinton White House, and now he's there. And next week, we're going to be looking at these two psychopaths that are in the White House, Rahm the Cruel and his little gopher boy. Unfortunately, President Barack Obama. Greater Israel is going to rise up out of the flames like a phoenix. Satanic Zionism will flourish. That's another prediction. Will it happen in 2009? Maybe 2010? I don't know, but it's coming. Get ready. I smell war. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy. Thank you.